This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the Sky Blues Extra podcast with myself, Dean Atkinson. Alongside me this evening, delighted to be joined by Ross Spence. Ross, welcome along to what's officially the worst Coventry City podcast, according to a ropey old Twitter poll entered by 15 people. How are you, mate? You must be delighted to be on here.
Oh yeah, fantastic, mate. I unfortunately made that trip down to Bristol yesterday, so I'm definitely feeling a bit jet lag today, so to speak. Even though it's not a playing journey, it's actually just, I just feel like whenever you go to an away day, you always feel knackered the next day because of the amount of traveling, and especially when you lose as well. Obviously you have all that optimism and energy before the game, you're having a few drinks, etc., and then before you know it, Coventry City has sucked the life out of you by 90 minutes in the end of the game, mate. So, as you said, we're the worst podcast according to some Cov fans, but each to their own, isn't it?
That's their opinion. Going. We soldier on.
That's what
can only get better from here.
Yeah, that's the whole point of a fans podcast, isn't it? Is having people that don't like you and people that do like you. So
that's the world of social media, mate.
It is, unfortunately.
You have to suck it up. It is what it is.
We move, don't we, mate? We move.
Absolutely, yeah. You haven't been on here for a while. How are things?
Things are okay, mate. I mean, I'm sick of these international breaks. I can't lie. I really thought the one we just had was the last one.
I remember being
in the gym and going, cannot wait for this one to be over. Last one. And then Robin said, I think it was pre-match on Friday, I think it was. He said, oh, yeah, we've got five games and another break. And I thought, another break? And then I checked the fixtures and it's like big gap from after that. I think it's the Stoke game, isn't it, home on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And then there's another international break for 2 weeks. And I was just like, how have we got another break? Like, they're just, how is any team meant to gain any momentum in any league when they're only playing five games and then stopping for 2 weeks? It's madness to me. It makes zero sense. And also the international players are going to end up getting injured as well on top of that, because they're not having any breaks and they're doing completely different styles of play, different training sessions, which the body has to adapt to. So I just don't get it, mate.
Well, as long as UEFA and FIFA are making more money, I mean, who cares, really? You know,
and according to some people on Twitter, footballers are robots. You know, they should travel half the world, play three times in that period, but because they earn 100 grand a week, you know, they should be able to get on with it. Yeah, they're not human anymore. They're basically some sort of robot because they earn a lot of money. But yeah, it doesn't work like that, mate. And I think eventually it's taking its toll, isn't it? As you can see by the amount of injuries teams get every year, including ourselves, really. So, and that's without actually having too many international players. So could you imagine if we did have did have more international players, how much of a mare it would be. But I'm just sick of the international breaks, mate. But at the same token, I'm a little bit sick of us as well at the moment. So I can't really
It's only been one game. You can't be sick of us that much already after the international break.
Yeah, no, I'm just... It's
just frustrating, isn't it? That's all yesterday is. It's just a frustrating one. And we've had it so often in the past. I think back to the COVID season. That's what yesterday reminded me of. Like, we played so well. And we just come away with absolutely nothing. So, you know, I think it's just we've got to chalk it down to being one of those days. And hopefully it's not, you know, something long term that sort of creeps in, because that's when the frustration starts to boil over. I mean, they kind of boiled over yesterday a little bit. Like, I listened to the phone in again on BBC CWR. I don't know why I put myself through it, but frustrations were boiling over there. And then I go onto Twitter and I'm like, oh, God, get off this thing in like the next 5 minutes, because it's just... incredibly frustrating reading all that nonsense as well. It's too much. Just way too much.
I've said it since the start, and the biggest problem that we find ourselves in, mate, is we are like, you know, when a child, normally they have good Christmases, but this year they've had an extremely good Christmas and they've got so many toys, they don't know what to do with them. That's a bit like us in terms of the sense of we've never been this spoilt with players that we've paid money for. We've never had a summer where we've spent 20 plus million pounds and sold players for nearly double that amount, 40 million pounds. You know, it's been obscene.
One of those Christmases for us where we don't get Lynx African gift sets over and over again.
Yeah, pretty much. We've actually been given some good gifts this year, and because the good gifts aren't always living up to their expectations of what some people would, i.e. Haji Wright, people seem to think that he needs to score a hat trick every game to be a good player. I think that's where the issue lies, and I do understand the frustration, because personally, for me as a fan's point of view, I now see us. I mean, I love the fact Robbins bats his players. A manager should always do that. But from a fan's point of view, I think he is gaslighting a little bit now. Like, I am looking at it, I'm thinking, come on, Mark, we're nearly in November now, and still keep coming out.
Yeah, I mean, Oggy said the same
saying,
thing yesterday. Yeah, 12 games in, you know, we can't use that excuse much anymore.
We've not had a pattern, really, of where we've been consistent with games. But these players are training with each other every single day. They're not strangers to one another anymore. They're friends. They understand each other. Yes, they're still fresh, but so are a lot of other teams. So I don't like to keep hearing this, oh, it's going to take time, it's new. If we spend that amount of money, Robbins and King must know that we are one of the most fickle fan bases out there, and must know that we expect things to click a lot sooner than they are. You can't charge £500 Premier League season ticket packages and all the stuff he's been doing, and then say, oh, you know, it's going to take COD fans don't work like that, unfortunately. When they've seen that money spent, you will get judged on that, and that's unfortunately where we are at the moment.
I'm kind of glad you brought that up, because when I was at the Tavern event, me and obviously Ross hosted that on Monday night with Jada Silva and Louis Binks, which was a brilliant night by all accords, and the guys really opened up, and I could actually like sense there'd been some foundations really starting to be built between the team. And I thought it was great banter between Jay and Louis. You could feel that. And it was brilliant to sort of get their thoughts. And that's really boosted my confidence moving forward. And the start we made yesterday, I was like, wow, maybe these foundations are real. I mean, because that first 30 minutes was electric. It was like watching Real Madrid. And I thought, who is this team? Like, we don't normally come back from an international break like this.
Yeah, it was being stood there, mate. It was pretty surreal watching.
I bet everyone was sort of looking at each other and going, "What? Are we at the right game here?" Mouths and jaws must have been wide open.
It was, but the biggest problem was every chance we missed, everyone just kept being really excited, but going, this is going to be another typical commentary. Yeah, we know what's coming, basically. So people were like excited, like, oh my God, we're playing so well. But then they were like, but we've missed again. So with us, it doesn't work like that. And I said it to my friend next to me at the time. I said, if that was Ipswich, Leicester, or even a Southampton, any of those teams, they'd have been 2 or 3 nil up in that game easily, comfortably. They'd have been 2 or 3 nil up, and they'd have been cruising. And at the moment, we are a very inconsistent, average-looking team. We have good spells, we have good moments, And the problem is we can't, I think we can't live off if buts and maybes. You know, if Godden would have took that chance, if Sims would have took that chance, if Sheaf's got shot would have not hit the bar and gone out. Do you know what I mean? If Sakamoto's shot would have, we can't keep living off if buts and maybes. You know, if I put a lottery ticket on, I could win £1 million, but I didn't. Do you know what I mean? It's, we've got to look at
facts. And you wouldn't share it, would you? You wouldn't share it with us.
Wouldn't share it. I might put a share into the club. I wouldn't
do that.
You don't
get much out of that.
I'd just get a load of abuse.
I think from reading Twitter and the forums and stuff, I think a lot of the chat seemed to be about creative playing.
Yeah.
And I caveat that because I think you go back and look at that first 35 minutes. The only thing we sort of lacked was conversion and composure in the area, obviously, that matters the most in front of goal. But we kept getting ourselves in great positions. There was 5 or 6 opportunities. We hit the bar twice. We had 2 free shots on goal from our strikers. And I know it's hard to sustain that, but it's equally as frustrating that we couldn't sort of muster up those same opportunities in the second half or the last 55 minutes of the game. And I think that's where the problems really arise, is that we just can't seem to sustain what we do. Like, it's all well and good doing it for these little patches. Against Norwich, we did the same thing in that last 15 minutes. If it was another 5 minutes on the end of the game, we'd have probably won that match.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
That's another if, but a maybe.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. There's just this thing that's just seems not clicking, and it's where it matters most in front of goal.
Yeah, and it's ultimately that I said it after the game, and I'll be honest, the second half for me was poor. Like, it was, what I find with us is, we've gone from a team, we were never not easy to judge before, but we were very good at what we did and we were very hard to stop. So Jokeres in the channels, Hamer making runs, Palmer O'Hare in the pockets. People knew what we were going to do. You'd listen to opposition managers would come out and would say, we know how Coventry are going to play, but we were just that good at it. It'd be hard to stop a lot of teams. But when I watch us at the moment, we have spells. Like yesterday, for me, was the first real time, that half an hour spell, where we looked like we clicked as a team. I thought, okay, this is what we're now trying to do as a team. And then we conceded the goal. I'm thinking, okay, we're 1-0 down, but we're now attacking in front of our fans second half. We've got a good go at this. We've been all over them pretty much the
whole game. We just
need
to do the same again, basically.
We just need to do the same, and we're in front of our fans and we will score. And if we score, we'll win the game, because they'll just completely capitulate and won't know what to do. And their fans weren't really getting behind them either. So I thought, okay. And then we just come out and we were just the most easy team to read in the world. I mean, we had a corner, and I don't want to bring these up about Josh Eccles, but I've seen people going mad at him. But we actually had a corner, and it was the side that I was over, and I said, please do not play this short, whatever you do. And he passed it short to Sheaf, right? And Sheaf got it and passed it back. So I think it might have actually been Thomas or Binks behind him, who then passed
this
it
on the left-hand side.
Yeah, on the left-hand side.
This, yeah.
And they almost did like a pattern of play between them, where it then ended up with Sheaf, I think it was, and Eccles made a run in behind, and he just overplayed it, and the ball went out of play for a goal kick. And I just thought, we did all of that to kick it out of play. Like, we've just wasted now a good 2 or 3 minutes of play by doing this, ultimately to kick the ball out of play, when we could have got another corner and put them under more pressure. And it just didn't make any sense what we were doing. Sometimes when I watch this, I just think they almost don't know what they're doing, if that makes sense. Someone needs to take, you know, almost
responsibility,
like or Hamer. Yeah, that we need someone that just will take the ball and will take the game by the scruff of the neck.
It's probably where
moment,
we lacked the Jamie Allen yesterday, isn't it?
Yeah,
because he can kind of do that.
Massively.
I know he's not the greatest player in the world, and he's not going to pull up you know any trees all the time, but at least he has that in the locker. And we've talked about Sheaf. It was obviously fantastic having back yesterday. It was really important to the way we played, but he looked a frustrating figure out there because he was trying to muster up something. But that's really the part of the game that he's lacking. Like, he didn't have that kind of forward thinking, you know, creative mindset a little bit. I mean, he can do it, but not to the extent obviously we've had in the past with Gus, etc. And Jamie Allen, maybe for me, was the guy yesterday who could come in and maybe just force it a little bit, you know? That's what it needed, because we didn't seem to have a structure or plan B. And I think just forcing it a little bit more might have been the way to get in behind them.
think it would have been nice if we could have took Eccles off and maybe brought Allen on, you know, for a bit of energy and someone to drive with the ball next to Sheaf and allow him to do what he needs to. And I felt, I'm going to bring this subject up because I've been big on it. I've said to everyone since the start of the season, Sakamoto can and is a 10 as well as a winger. And people have said he can't play there. He looked clueless there against Wimbledon in the cup and against Swansea. He wasn't great. And I said, give the bloke a chance. For the first half yesterday, he was electric in the 10.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think we missed the ceremony, but it looked like he'd been given the keys to the city of Bristol.
Yeah.
With the amount of space he was finding, it was ridiculous.
He was unbelievable. He was one of the best players on the pitch by a country mile. I remember thinking a few weeks ago, people told me this bloke couldn't play in this position. And now look at him. He's getting it. He's on the half turn. He's getting into spaces. He's just still jinking past people like he would on the wing. He's doing 1-2s and still going out wide and getting the ball in the box. You know, he was everywhere. And then it comes to the second half. And I don't really remember him getting into space once because no one could find him.
They put an extra man in the middle of the park.
Yeah,
and basically just socked that life out of anything going through the middle. And that's where, because we've talked about Van Ewijk and Jada Silva, they actually got a lot more of the ball in that second half. But it was just impossible to do anything with it because when we tried to overlap, the second player from Bristol came and covered that position and they just sucked the life out of that game, Bristol. It was fair play to Pearson and Bristol for the way they set up in the second half because they just nullified us completely. And then the no plan B is really frustrating. I want to ask you, are you critical of Robbins and his coaching staff for not having that in play?
I don't like to criticise Robbins because obviously he is the gaffer and he's got us to ultimately where we are today. But as a fan, you are still allowed to have opinions and criticise. I think two things. One, he's too stubborn with formations. And two, he's too stubborn with substitutions. And it's been a factor of his whole tenure at Cov from when we were in League Two, from when we're in League One to now in the Championship. He's always been stubborn with substitutions. He never makes subs early and he never ever changes the way we play. And I was actually speaking to one of my bosses the other day, CJ, and he was saying, if you look at the players that we've actually got, we are very well suited to a 4-3-3 system as well, which really, you would, as a fan, you would like to see us go to at some point as a plan B, even if it's not plan A and we still play with a five at the back. If you take off McFadden, we have enough players and the fundamentals there to definitely go to a 4-3-3.
I think you'll see that more often when you've got O'Hare and Palmer in.
Yeah, definitely. And you have the fundamentals there for us to switch to a 4-3-3 in game. And he actually made a good point to me. Hadji Wright, for me, when O'Hare and players come back, I'm hoping we see a lot more of him. But he also naturally, if you notice, he naturally comes out wide a bit like Jokeres does. So it would be quite nice to see a three with, say, Godden or Sims as the central point, but Hadji out on a wing, you know, when you can get him sort of 1v1 with someone and see what he can do in those positions. Or even if you've got Sakamoto on one wing, you get it out to him and he takes one on. You've got Hadji at the back post ultimately to come in and nod it in. And we all know he can head a ball because we've seen him do it. So that option would be nice instead of just going, right, we'll hoist Sims off and put Hadji on in the exact same formation, in the exact same system and see if we can do anything. Because that's not always going to work. It's not me criticising it, but I'd just like to see something. And then, like yesterday, I was scratching my head. I thought he was bringing on Lati Bader to put him in midfield in the 88th minute. And he just swapped a centre-half for a centre-half. And I just thought,
he did go to four at the back for the last three minutes of the game. Yeah, but it's too late.
It's late now. Why are we doing that in the 88th minute? That should have been done 20 minutes ago. In the 88th minute when there's 3 minutes plus added time. It just doesn't make any sense. So I will be critical on him on that yesterday. I just thought we tried to huff and puff through that game way too long. I think another manager, if that was Pearson, so to speak, I think Pearson would have made a tactical change earlier. Yeah,
he did make that tactical change ultimately in the first half.
Yeah, and in our position, if he was the Coventry manager, I think he'd have made a substitution by about the 60th minute. To be honest, I think he'd have made probably two or three by that point. And it took us, I think, the first change was like the 70th, 75th minute we brought on Hadji. And so it's 15 minutes too late by that point. You give it the first 15, 20 minutes.
That second half was going quite early.
Million percent. Yeah.
But I mean, we've talked about the lack of bodies. I mean, Sheaf was back yesterday. And I think I said it in the WhatsApp group yesterday, like, we're Allen coming back, O'Hare and Palmer back. We're one centre midfielder away from having a very, very decent outfit.
Yeah,
but it's,
I agree.
How often do we have our full squad available? So it's a case of utilizing what you've got. And at the moment, I don't think Robbins is doing that well. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because like you said, you just know how the game works. By the time we've got O'Hare and Palmer back, someone else will be injured again. So then we'll be going, oh, but if only such and such was back playing, we'd be great. You're not going to have all players, very rarely, playing all season 100% fit. And it is clear to see, and I've seen people putting things up about Eccles, some people slagging him off and some people saying that he played really well. For me yesterday, I know he had a couple of like where he put balls into the box. Overall, if you watched him in the midfield, for me, the biggest issue, he's so lightweight. I watch people just completely, absolutely run through him on occasions when it's a 50-50. And I hate that because we've gone, hate to bring his name up, from someone like Gustavo Hamer, who was an absolute bully for his size in the midfield, again, with Sheath. They were one of the best two tacklers, to now Sheath coming back, who won't always be able to make every single tackle, to now Eccles. And for me, he's not a presence enough in the middle of the pitch. I'm not disregarding he has got some ability, but there's things he's doing at the moment and you just think, oh, like, really? Is that going to really take us to the playoffs this year? And it's not me being, like, even being picky. We're not going to get the playoffs with him playing in centre.
He feels
field.
More of a squad player for me. Yeah, like, he's the guy who comes in and fills a gap for the one or two games that you need him to, but he's not...
What he did last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
And to be honest, he actually did that role really well last year.
Yeah.
But we're relying on him too much this year to be a first team player. I question his ability to do that all season long.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's... Some people will say, and you know, and I like the fact they're trying to defend him, because I don't agree with absolutely slagging him off to the hills, because that is unfair, because he's not an awful player, but he's ultimately not going to take us to the level that we want to and expect to be at. And that is just a simple fact. He is
the highest rated player on Who Scored, though. So
yeah,
I think I'd say that with a pinch of salt, really.
What do we know, Dino? What do we know?
We're the worst podcast in the country.
We know nothing, mate. We know absolutely nothing, mate. We're clueless on this podcast.
We make up a lot of shit and don't know our ass from our elbow, basically. What else are we going to bring up? Their goal. Fad's obviously a bit out-muscled by Rob Dickey, and then there's a bit of blame on Ben Wilson again.
Everything about it was just soft, mate, weren't it? It was just the free kick we gave away, to the marking, to the header, to the save, to it hitting the net. It was just soft, and it summed it up by my mate. He literally said to me he needed the toilet.
How many mates you got?
There was
I
two
don't
of us
believe
yesterday.
This
you, I'm a loner, mate. I don't really. I just go and stand on my own and pretend I know people at the games. But yeah, he said, if I go to the toilet now, I'm going to miss a goal, aren't I? And I went, no. I said, don't worry about that. He must have literally probably just got down the stairs and the free kick had come in and it had balled at the net. And he said he was in the toilet and all of a sudden you heard a roar and everyone was going, who's that? And he was going, that can't be us, because we'd have heard a much bigger roar than that. That must be them. And then he just come back up and was just like, really?
Yeah.
And I said, mate, you'll be glad that you're in the toilet. I'd have rather have missed the goal than actually see it.
Because
when I saw it
live,
I just, when it hit the net, I just couldn't. And I didn't actually realise how close it was to half time. It was on the 45th minute as well, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, like, to us, it wasn't even a free kick. And then, like, just for them to score from it, it's just draining.
Talking about it is just draining, isn't it? Like, you don't even want to talk about it because it was such a pathetic goal to concede, but you knew it was coming ultimately because you knew that we didn't take our chances and we didn't. If we'd have been clinical in that first 20 minutes, we'd have been out of sight in that game. They'd have had to have come at us and it would have suited us down to a T, because we could have broke on them, hit them on the counter, and it would have been another QPR ultimately, I think, another 2-0 or 3-0 or 3-1 or something like that. But we didn't put the ball in the net this time and it cost us, and you just knew it was coming, and it was frustrating. Like you said, I'm still frustrated now even thinking back to it, but we have to put it right on Wednesday against Rotherham ultimately now and get 3 points.
Absolutely. Right, let's wrap this one up. Man of the match from you. Slim Pickens,
you know,
I suppose. Is it Sakamoto, maybe?
I'd probably
give it to him.
yeah, you've took the words out of my mouth. I think for a lot of people who said he can't play in that position, he showed how versatile he is, because I've now seen him play right wing back, left wing back, and he's now played as a 10. So for $2.5 million and for the ability that he's got and the versatility of him in our system, he's a very good footballer, and I'm starting to like him more and more. And I feel like he's growing into our team more and more. And he's almost, they almost wanted to give him the ball a lot more yesterday from when I was watching it. It was like,
Sheaf was looking up
and thinking, right, let's do a 1-2. And him and Sheaf had some really good combinations in that first half. And I was liking what I was seeing. So I think once O'Hare comes back and he plays with him, I think that could be a really nice little link up between sort of, you've got Sheaf, O'Hare, Sakamoto and Van Ivac on that right hand side. I think there could be some good little interchanges there, which will cause teams a lot of problems. So yeah, I'm going to give it to Tats, and it's his birthday today, isn't it? So happy birthday, Tats, as
happy
well.
Happy birthday, the Tats, match on SBE.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, you mentioned it just a while back. We got a trip up north on, is it Wednesday?
I think it is, isn't it? Yeah, it's Wednesday, I believe.
Another Wednesday game. To Rotherham. Not New York City, we're off to Rotherham, backed by a sold-out Sky Blue Army, of course. Confidence? How confident are you? It feels like a good game to try and get over what just happened.
Do you know what? And I'm going to be honest here, I'm not confident, but that's always a good thing. If I'm not confident, we always go and do the total opposite.
Why is that, though? Why is that? Is it because of Cov or because of Rotherham?
Because of us. I can see it just being, it's either going to go two ways. We're either going to play really well and put Saturday right, or it's going to be another vice versa where we go there, play really well, don't take our chances, and they're going to score a set piece or score a rubbish goal against us again. And I think if it's A, we can move on from Saturday pretty quickly, you know, and start to actually try and get a bit of momentum in the next, you know, going into sort of a local derby at home then on the following Monday against West Brom. But if it's B, and we lose to another soft goal and batter them and come away with nothing, then questions are really going to start to be asked of Robbins, I think, because people are going to start to get impatient, because people are going to be like, well, where is the progress in this team? You know, we're battering teams and just we're losing 1-0. Is this going to be a constant theme all season?
But we're going to a team that's not won since the start of September. Four losses in the last six, you know, a team really, really struggling.
We say that though, but we've only won 3 games, mate. You know, we don't win many games either. So we're looking at it thinking from a footballing side, are we a better footballing team? Yeah, we are by a country mile. But in terms of actually winning and converting games, we're not that much better than them statistically, because we've won 3. That's it. All season, we won 3 games. The rest of the time, we either draw or lose.
But we have been in positions to win more games than them.
Yeah. So we are. By far, we are a better football team than Rotherham United. Let's get that crystal clear. We are much better than them and have better players all over the pitch. But the way we are at the moment as a team, you don't know what to expect. If you'd have asked me this a year ago, I'd have probably gone, yeah, we'll go and get a Cov win. If we turn up, we know what we're going to expect. Because they're still new and they're so inconsistent, we had it from a half yesterday. For the first 40 minutes, every Cov fan in that stand was absolutely buzzing with the team.
They're going to win the league.
we at that point, we were like, yes, we've got one of the best teams in the league. As soon as that goal went in, completely all confidence gone in everyone again. It was our Hadji shite, bloody blah.
Do you think that rubs off on the players? Can they feel that, do you think, from the stands or from social media?
I think, you know, yesterday it was really weird, actually. I actually looked up at the end of the game, and you know when obviously the players obviously come over and they clap and stuff, they stood there for a very, very long time and clapped. And it was almost like, you know, as if they know, they could tell by the way the fans were just getting out and not really. I think they know that we're starting to get a little bit annoyed and there's a lot of frustration there. I think they can ultimately see it because they obviously see from behind the goal people's hands going up. People must shout all sorts of stuff throughout the game that you know, you don't know. There's all sorts of stuff at a football game that people say. But
especially if Craig Danny's there.
Jesus. I hope none of the new players have seen him yet because they'll be scarred for life.
Well, I'm pretty sure he was interviewed on CWR before the game yesterday, but there you go.
If it is, then they've come to an all-time low. Clive and Oggy seriously need to have a word with themselves if they're interviewing Craig Danny. But yeah, it was weird. I was leaving and Louis Binks was kind of stood there clapping for a while and there was a few of them, Lati Bader. And it's almost like they're looking up and thinking...
I think we should take bets on when you're going to get Lati Bodier's name right.
Yeah, Lati Bodier. I call him Lati. Do you know what I mean?
Or Lats.
I know Van Ivack is Van Ivack, but I call him MVE just so I don't get it. So I don't get it wrong, basically. But they were all stood there and they were clapping at the end. And you know, you could just tell by someone's body language that
they could feel it.
Yeah, they can feel that it's flat. They can feel that almost as if we know there's good players there, but there's not confidence in them yet because they've not given us anything to be confident with. And that was the body language that I kind of got from them, is that they're starting to understand now that we are a fickle fan base ultimately, and we want better results and better performances. And for us to go to them, play how well we did and not score a goal, ultimately, you get judged, and we've spent, 20-odd million pounds, and we're looking at it thinking, well, we didn't even score a goal in that game, and our team's worth over 20 million. You know, that's ultimately how Coventry fans look at it, and it's rubbing off at the moment, but we still need to stick behind them. I'll never say to not get behind them, but I am frustrated as everyone at the minute, because you can't not be. How can we be happy with only winning three games of football all season? We can't. You know, people say, oh, give Wright and Sims time. I do agree, especially more so with Wright, considering the amount of minutes he's got. But what were both of them, 12, 30 million pounds? To have scored three goals in 12 games isn't a good output so far, ultimately, at the end of the day. It's statistical facts, isn't it, really? You can't...
I would also say that we were still bottom of the league at this point last year.
Yeah, we were still bottom of the league. But I think the difference was last year to this year is we knew what we had in our team. But ultimately, we don't know this team well enough yet. So that's the problem with Cov fans. Cov fans have to, once they start to understand the players more, they'll be able to get behind them in the tough moments. But ultimately, like I've said three or four times today just alone, we're fickle and we've spent a lot of money. And that's ultimately what they're getting judged on at the moment, is that they're worth a lot of money and they're not, in Coventry fans' eyes, they're not living up to expectations.
All right then, Mr. Fickle. Let's get a prediction from you for this game. For me, like, this is a game that you earmark, especially away from home, that you think you can go there and win. And to me, it feels like one this week. I feel like we'll turn the corner out. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win.
Oh, who's going to score then?
I think Hadji's going to do it. I think once he gets one, I think he'll I think he'll get more.
He's not had a proper run in the team yet. I think that's another thing that's affected him as well, isn't it, really? He plays a game, and if he doesn't score, it's like he's out again, isn't it? So
yeah, and the guy does have ability. Every time I've been at these fan Q&A events, every player has said, oh, I'd have Hadji in my five-a-side team, or Hadji, you know, he's been brilliant in training. But then he doesn't get the opportunity much, really. And then the team he's playing in isn't really the creative force that he needs to... Yeah. Get him chances. So
he's if people think that he's not got ability, then they obviously don't really understand. There's people who have said he's shy, he couldn't lace Jokeres's boots, blah blah blah. Look, he's not Victor Jokeres, we all know that, but the guy has still scored goals in his career. He plays for the USA. He's been to the World Cup, for God's sake. You got to have some form of footballing ability if you can play in a World Cup, regardless of who you're playing for. He's playing in a team with players like Christian Pulisic, who play in the Champions League. He's got ability, Hadji Wright. As everyone knows, that's why we paid £8 million for the guy nearly. But he hasn't returned at the moment. But like people are saying, we need more creativity in and around him. And I think once we get O'Hare and players, I would like to see him up front on his own, or
I want to see him on his own as well.
Or an out wide position would be quite nice, where you go to like a three. So you have a Sakamoto, a right, and a Sims or a Godden in the middle. That would also be a nice one, because I think once you thread it into him and he can run onto it, that's when you get him in trouble. But when he's back to goal, I don't think he's the back to goal player. No matter how big the guy is, I don't think he's someone that's more of what Ellis Sims is learning to be better at, is back to goal, play off him. Whereas I don't see Hadji as that. I think Hadji is just simply a in behind, run at you, get goals type of striker.
And I think that's why we're playing two up front at the moment, because we just don't feel like we've got enough creativity behind to make them chances. It's kind of like, go make some chances of your own, lads, because...
And it's not working at the moment.
Yeah, and I think once we've got those creative players in behind, I think both Wright and Sims can play off front on their own. And it's just about altering how you play to that certain attacker, really.
Yeah.
And I think we'll bear the fruits of that. But we've gone off topic here.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
What's your prediction? It smells like a loss coming.
No, I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Okay.
I think we'll get a point. I think it'll probably be just a frustrating point, but I'll take that rather than a loss. And if we do go there and get a 1-0, like you said, I'll be really happy with that, because we should go there and win. But ultimately, at the moment, from Saturday, we've got to do something's really got to change for us to go there. Because ultimately, like we've said on today's pod numerous times, if you don't put the ball in the net, you ain't going to win a game of football. It's as simple as that. And it's something we're not doing well enough at the moment, is scoring when we're on top of teams. So it depends if we do that. If we do that, we're more than capable of winning 2 or 3 nil there. But if we don't, it could be a frustrating afternoon. But yeah, I'm going to go for 1-1. And the goal scorer, I think Godden might score on Wednesday. I think I think he's due a goal. And I think he'll be annoyed with his miss on Saturday, because he should have put that in the net as well. And that was a sitter for him. So I think he'll be a bit frustrated. And then he'll probably do his usual hands of the ears celebration in front of two Cov fans. So yeah, 1-1 and a Godden goal.
Another game, obviously, under the lights. And talking of under the lights, another game moved actually from 3 p.m. on a Saturday. In the future, the Birmingham game's been moved to a Friday night in front of the Sky cameras. Does only mean only one home game until Boxing Day. That will be 3 p.m. on a Saturday. What's your thoughts on that? Is that fair on season ticket holders?
I saw a lot of this in the week, didn't they? And I know that Dave said in our chat, didn't he? He was a bit annoyed with this one, because he'll now miss it through work. And I do understand that. But the Birmingham and these type of games, I'm not surprised that they moved them, because they're derby games. And like Leicester, we're meant to play them at home in January on a Saturday. You already know that in the next month or two, they're going to move that to a Sunday 12 o'clock kickoff on Sky Sports. You know it's coming. You know we're going to get money, and they don't want the trouble ultimately. Like they did it, well, we did at their place at the start. They'll move that to a Sunday at the CBS, and they'll put it to a 12 o'clock kickoff, so that there's less chance of people getting drunk and in their eyes and all that kind of stuff, even though it doesn't do any of that, because people will still be in the exact same position as they were, regardless of whether it's a Saturday or a Sunday. They do it because on paper terms, it's better. But I do agree with some people on the fact that we've not had enough 3 p.m. kickoffs, and ultimately that is what people pay a season ticket for, isn't it? They like their Saturday, they like their 3 o'clock routine.
As a season ticket holder, though, you do understand there will be some movement, but not as much as what it's felt like so far this year. Like, why, with plenty more to come.
Yeah, like, why did our Huddersfield game get moved? I just don't understand that. Like, that one should have been on a Saturday at 3 o'clock. It shouldn't have been a Monday 8 o'clock kickoff. There was literally zero reason for us to be on the telly at that on that game at that time. Obviously, we had the Middlesbrough, and then we had a Sunderland. We almost had back-to-back home games that were both on the telly, weren't they, as well? I think this was the Sunderland game. It was on the telly, wasn't
it was,
I believe.
Yeah.
So again, two games that we've had on the telly there. You've now got West Brom, which has been moved to a Monday, which realistically, it is a derby, but I've never known it to be that bad with them when they come to our place, you know, and it'd be really like hostile. It's a West Midlands derby, and you still want to beat each other, but there's not a humongous rivalry.
No,
yeah, like,
not,
we don't really care about each other that much, but it is nice to beat each other, or to beat the baggies, you know, yam, 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 and all that stuff. But it's ultimately not a massive derby. So I do understand why some people are annoyed, because like you said, if you look at it from a perspective of now, it's nearly up until Boxing Day, we don't have a 3 p.m. kickoff. That's
That's two
last bit of October, last all of November, and then pretty much most of December, really, isn't it?
So I think a lot of people are bringing up the point of kids as well. You know, yeah. Obviously they are the future of the supporters and
school stuff like that.
Lots of, you have to take them sort of things into consideration.
If you'd
won that lottery and you were on the board, would you try and push for some sort of compensation for season ticket holders? I'm not sure what they could do, really. Like maybe half price third round FA Cup tickets or free pint or something like that. I don't know what they can do, really.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they could throw something in, you know, like could they do some sort of package? Like they say, well, you get half price food at the game. Or could they do something where they put on some extra food at the game, which children can get for free, as an example.
A meet and greet with Ross Spence, subscribers extra.
Yeah, that would entice them all up, mate. They'd be queuing at the door not to see the games, to see me alone. But, you know, could they do something where, realistically, a night game for a parent, you've got to get your child to eat and then get them up the game. It's a bit of a nightmare. Whereas if you know that they've got something on the ground, like some nice food, not I'm not talking like a hot dog or a burger from behind the kiosk in the CES. I'm talking actually something nice, and it was all you can have it for free because we've moved the game with the money that we've made. That's a gesture of goodwill, and it's saying, right, we know it's a bit of an inconvenience, but you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours, type of situation. As Doug King said many times in his interviews, he wants it to be you scratch mine, I'll scratch your back. And I think now probably would be a good time for some of the for Doug King really to award some of these fans that are probably going to go up out of their way and move plans, etc., especially around like the Christmas time of year. You know what comes up in that whole month, people go to see family and all sorts of stuff, don't they, around that time of year. So it's always difficult for them to get to games. So I think it would be good if they could do something, but ultimately that's up to DK, isn't it, really, and what he wants to do. But
so I found something here that clubs get £135,000 from Sky for the home game being broadcast, and you get 12,500 if it's an away game.
135. Yeah,
that's
poor if it's an away game, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's coming from the Birmingham Mail, which I think they own the Cov Telegraph as well. So,
yeah, not exactly the most trusty of sources.
Exactly. Yeah. But if it is in that sort of ballpark, is it worth agreeing to it? I don't know. It's
surely they've got, he's got, would Doug really do all of that for 100, what was it, 150 grand, 125?
135, 12.5. So you're 135 at home, 12.5 away.
Would he? So realistically, if we've had six games on Sky, we're not even making £1 million off that. So really, would he go through all that hassle for not even £1 million? You'd have thought it would have been a good few hundred thousand per game, or do you know what I mean?
I'm trying to find it off on the EFL website. There's a page of agreements, but it doesn't actually say how much.
I find that difficult, mate. I don't think 135 grand is what we'd get as a club, because it wouldn't even be worth the time, would it? Especially doing as many as we are.
There's got to be
something in it for us, hasn't there? If we're agreeing to this, there's a couple of places
saying 135,000 from just a quick Google search. Mm. I'll look into that a bit more. It'd be interesting to find out, really, because then you start to like work out, is it worth it? Because you're generally going to lose out on War Cups and all that sort of stuff.
Regardless of that, mate, we know how the attendance works at the Rico anyway. Even if we drop 5,000, it would still be 21,000 just as the tax man doesn't know at the end of the season we've dropped under. You know, you don't have to be a guessing man. I think it was the Blackburn game when they said there was 20,000 lately, about 16 up there, and it was like, we'll add it on the 4,000 though, mate. Don't worry, so the tax man doesn't come knocking. It's all right. But yeah, I don't know, mate. Hopefully he does something for some fans, because I think the more closer it gets to the game is when he'll do something, because there was a bit of uproar, but people will sort of forget about it a little bit now, because obviously we've got games coming up. But it'll be once it gets to that end of November time, that's when people will re-bring up the subject. So it'll be interesting sort of at that period of time if or when he does anything to respond, because he has always said, and his brother Will King always says, that he always looks at what's put on Twitter. So if he knows there's a lot of backlash and people are saying, oh, well, there's been loads of game moves, it's ridiculous, I've paid £500 for a season ticket, blah de blah, for my child, but we're not going to be able to make this one, or this is a bit of an inconvenience, etc., will he do something to compensate them? who knows, will he give them a free football from the club shop if you're over the age of five or something, you know, just something.
You'll be straight in there, won't you?
Yeah, I'll be there with my child's ticket saying, can I have a ball, please?
I've heard that about you. That's a nice way to finish off proceedings this evening. Ross, thanks for your time, as always, and your input. Thanks to Scribbage Tavern for their continued support. In the meantime, if you want to keep up with the conversation, just search us on our socials at Scribbage Extra. And you can get involved with the conversation itself. Just use the hashtag SBE Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.